I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Which Gilligan's Island castaway do you personally most relate to?
Ginger.
I know. That's true. That's why it's so funny. But which one do you relate to? Now, some of you may remember back in 2014 when I picked which staff members I thought matched which castaways. And then I dressed them all up for Oktoberfest. Look at Ginger. It's Colin. You know, everyone was pretty happy with my choice except him. Calls him as I see him. And then we used it as our Christmas card. That was the Christmas card from the church that year. We got some interesting responses back. Well, Christmas has passed. Holidays behind us. And now, of course, we look forward to our New Year's resolutions. Because we just love to make them and break them. And it's just our annual tradition. It isn't, I thought about it, it isn't that we enjoy setting ourselves up for failure. I know that we don't. The battle is just bigger than we think it is all the time. Always, right? It's like, I'm going to do this. And then you're like half a week into it. It's like, why is this so much harder than I thought it would be? Jesus nailed our problem when he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, we know that scripture. But notice that he prefaced it with the solution to the problem. Keep watching and praying. There's our problem. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. That you may not enter into whatever temptation most tempts you. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Jesus says, right on. And our spirit hates that. It hates that flesh is weak. Our spirit longs. That's why we make resolutions. It longs to escape that, to finally be free from that grip of sin that inevitably, always left unchecked, takes us further than we want to go, keeps us longer than we want to stay, and costs us more than we want to pay. Reminds me of a certain 3-hour tour. Did you know, listen close, this has a great punchline. Did you know that Gilligan's Island was in the top 94th percentile in the comedy genre in the U.S., 94.3% in Germany, and 95.1% in Argentina last month? This is a ratings program that monitors the last 30 days. Gilligan's Island, the top, what was it, 93? Top 94th percentile in America last month. 55 years after being canceled, it is right now one of the world's most popular shows. It's crazy. It's being shown. It's always on. There's never a minute in the day it's not being shown somewhere. It is being shown in 30 languages. Why? What a dumb show. So why is that? Why that show? What is it about that? Because when you see those characters, there's just something different, isn't there? You can't really put your finger on it, even if you don't like the show. There's just, man. Okay, well, one very popular theory is that each character, intentional or not, I don't even know that they meant to do it, but the theory goes that each character, intentional or not, embodies one of the 7 classic Christian categories of deadly sins to which everyone in the world is susceptible, making those 7 stranded castaways among the most relatable and memorable characters ever assembled. That is a very popular theory out there. So now, which do you most relate to? Anger? greed, lust, sorry, Colin, envy, sloth, pride, you're going to wonder till we get to it, or gluttony. Well, you just hold that thought. Those seven categories now are based on grouping the sins that are scattered throughout Proverbs. You can group them according to the seven transgressions that Proverbs says are an abomination to God. You can take those seven categories, go through Proverbs, and you can just put, and so that's what the seven deadly sins are based on. So let's start with anger. Poor Skipper. Could be a bit cantankerous. You know, the guy, he embodies jovial jolliness, right? With a very short fuse. And when he wasn't whacking Gilligan over the head with his hat, he was one of my favorite things. He was turning to the camera and us, you know, breaking the fourth wall with that expression of utter exasperation. You know, funny, right? Funny on TV. Real life, not so much. Anger makes a good point. Anger is often an attitude. It's all about usually attitude. I mean, of the one who's angry. You know, I got a story. One year, true story, my car died while I was Christmas shopping by myself up in Bellingham. I was so mad. And so I limped the car to this, just whatever was the closest repair shop I could. And I was mad at the car. I was mad at myself for owning it. Just mad. And so mad that I pulled it in. I said, I need to drive this back in about an hour. So just, can you just do whatever it takes to fix it? And they said, sure. And I walked back to Bellis Fair and I figured they would rip me off and that would be my punishment. And then I started shopping and I cooled off like we do. And I found some good gifts and I was kind of happy. And when a store clerk asked me how my day was going, this is before Pretty Good for Down Here, asked me how my day was going, I chose to cheerfully, authentically cheerfully say, great. It's going great. My gift to her, right? My gift to her. And then I walked back to my car. Well, it turns out battery posts just needed cleaning. No charge. They'd catch me next time. Now, I am not saying this is a formula, okay? But I'm not so sure that our Father would have allowed that if I had turned to the camera with utter exasperation and took it out on the sales clerk. Because you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God. Slow, so slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Therefore, one who is slow to anger has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered exalts foolishness. You know, a great way to extinguish exasperation is simply to behave yourself. Because good feelings follow right behavior. Which means we don't feel our way to good behavior. We behave our way to good feelings. That's a very profound statement. Let's read those together. We don't feel our way to good behavior. We behave our way to good feelings. That's a secret in life. So if you're making resolutions, maybe resolve to keep your hat on the next time you feel like turning to the camera. Did you know that Gilligan didn't wear a sailor's hat? It was too stiff for the comedic look. He wore a tennis hat. And he had replicas made before he passed away. And I bought this one from his widow. It's a replica Gilligan hat produced by Bob Denver, by Gilligan himself. I love this hat. Well, next is greed. Poor Mr. Howell took a trunk of cash on a 3-hour tour. That's just funny. Greed isn't so much about the love of possessions. I love that hat. It's mostly about the love of possessing. I would love that hat if you owned it. You know? It's a big difference between those two. I love a lot of my possessions. But the thing is, love is a loose term. Carl, you've pointed that out to me on a couple occasions. You know, I love peanut butter. I love the Lord. It's a loose term. But the truth is, I possess them. They don't possess me. That's the trick. And besides, money isn't the root of evil. But the love of it sure is. That's the scripture. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some believers, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith. You know, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, and I want you to listen carefully because, boy, I don't think we know this story as well as we think we do. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, if you want to be perfect, and I like to picture the guy going, I don't need to be perfect. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But, well, the man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, loved his possessions. But did you notice Jesus didn't tell him to be poor? He's still a ruler, perfectly capable of amassing wealth. He didn't say to give up his business sense or his skill set or his rulership, but to sell what he had. Go sell what you have. He told him to do what it would take to recalibrate, reset his misplaced priorities in order to come follow Jesus with all his heart. So maybe if you're making resolutions, maybe resolve to release any possessions that are possessing you. Amen. And the simplest way to start is to simply stop buying things you don't really need with money you don't really have to impress people you don't really like. Otherwise, you might end up like poor Mr. Howell. Not that Mr. Howell, the one from Scripture. You know, James writes, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. That Mr. Howell, that one with the misplaced priorities. Your riches have rotted and their corrosion will be evidence against you. Why? Oh, because you've laid up treasure in the last days of the wrong. You've laid up the wrong type of treasure in the last days. Oh, by the way, that bamboo tumbler, oh, this was a toughie, but that bamboo tumbler was manufactured in 1961 by Paul Marshall Products. Cheers. Oh boy, am I proud. I love this bamboo tumbler. And then there's lust. And then there's Ginger, the poor movie star wannabe, the embodiment of desire minus love. I mean, you need a definition of lust. And Noah and I put our heads together. We thought, that's a pretty good one, right? The embodiment of desire minus love. Different types of lust, of course. Guys lusted for her while she lusted for fame. You may not have been attracted to her at all. I wasn't. I'm not a ginger guy. But you got to admit, girl knew how to wear a curtain. There is a healthy balance, a godly balance with any natural desires. Don't deny them. Just don't allow them to take control. That's the fine line, which takes work. Because we can't just decide not to lust. You know, whatever the object of our desire, you can't just decide you're not going to lust. You got to grow out of it. Because we can't fight emotions with emotions. Okay? That just spins us in cycles. No, we got to fight an emotion with a conviction. And the most meaningful and powerful conviction in this world is to become like Jesus. Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, you know, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Say that underline with me. Live a life of love. Who doesn't want that? Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. You ever hear the saying, or the song, or see the movie, love stinks? Not true. Not true. Love is fragrant. Lust stinks. Because love desires to give, but lust desires to get. That's how you tell them apart. That's how you can always tell them apart. So if you're making resolutions, maybe resolve to purposefully, periodically put others ahead of yourself. I mean, it might seem strange, but we ultimately defeat all forms of lust by doing things like letting a stranger go ahead of us in the checkout line for no other reason than to honor their intrinsic value as one of our Father's creations. But then comes envy. Poor Mary Ann just couldn't stack up to the competition. Nobody wanted her to. But that's beside the point, right? Because envy comes from comparison. And comparison comes from within. Envy is more than mere jealousy, okay? It's resentment with discontentment. It is the sense of getting gypped by God. You know, what he gave you, what he's giving you. Riches, yeah, the riches may rot on the outside, but envy rots the bones. So maybe resolve to appreciate the wealth of small things that God has given you. Their radio is a Packard Bell AR-851 with an added 1950s drawer pull and a mid-century aftermarket Schneider Carfin antenna. I made a replica out of all the authentic parts that I found on eBay. And so I have my Gilligan's Island radio, which, by the way, that the, I don't know if you remember the transmitter. Nobody inside the fan base knew what that transmitter was, and nobody outside cared. But now they do. No, not care. It is a Holocrafters S40A receiver. They still don't care. Next up, Noah said, are you really going to show them how weird you are? And I said, nope, just a glimpse. It goes much deeper than what I'm going to show you. Well, next up is sloth. Not necessarily laziness, because boy, we can be busy with all the wrong things while completely idle in the areas that matter most. Poor Mrs. Howe. Poor Mrs. Howe, so used to being served that she missed out on life's truest joy. Because true greatness is not measured by how many serve you, but by how many you serve. For even the Son of Man, God Himself in flesh, did not come to be served, but to serve. Because He didn't do anything dumb. And that's where joy really is. You know, we say such dumb things. We say, that dress is to die for. I don't know how many times I've said that. I think never. But I've heard it said, that dress is to die. But really, you'd die for a dress, you know, or a boat, or chocolate. The things we say it's to die for. How about your children, your family? Well, maybe the chocolate. No, I'm kidding. Because then you think of family. Here's the thing. You want to know what your created purpose is. You want to know. Just make a list, very short list. Make a list of what you would actually be willing to die for real. And then maybe resolve to live for those things. Because that list, that's your greatest reason for living, whatever's on that list, right? That's your purest source of fulfillment. And it's what'll matter most when your show's canceled. I mean, if you want to find life worth living, find something worth dying for. Those coconut mugs were from the Islander. Coconut mugs were from the Islander, which was a tiki bar in Stockton, California that closed down in 1982. Mine. Noah says, what are you going to say after you show the mug? And I said, I'm going to say mine. It'll contradict everything I'm preaching. Then comes crafty pride. Crafty pride. Pride is nothing more than faith in yourself. That's what it boils down to. And the poor professor truly was the island's know-it-all. So you can hardly blame him for having a high opinion of himself. The guy made a satellite receiver out of coconut shells and an electrical generator out of coconut shells and a weather indicator, a Geiger counter, a lie detector, and a telegraph out of coconut shells. Just couldn't patch that boat. I guess there's a limit to what coconut shells can do. I don't know if any of you remember the episode where the professor tried making glue to repair the boat. Remember that? Well, just as pride goes before destruction, so too that glue. It was the one time Gilligan didn't ruin it for everyone. The professor did. Crazy. So sometimes I think we need to reflect on our many limitations and what all we can't do, and our utter dependency on God. Paul writes, you know, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. See, there is a highness that you ought. Just don't go above that. Because ego might as well stand for edging God out. But rather, Paul writes, think of yourself with sober judgment, neither too highly nor too lowly, in accordance, in balance with the measure of faith God has given you. So maybe let's resolve to think of ourselves in line with what our Father thinks of us. That's different for everyone. For some, you might need to think a little better of yourself. And others, you might need to pull it down a notch. You know, long before eBay or the internet, I mean, we're talking about 35 years ago, I had to settle for the closest radio I could find at Salvation Army. But Ken Eckley, my good friend, wired it so that there's a Marine Band button on here, so that when you press the Marine Band, it plays the theme song. And it still works after 35 years. That's crazy. And so once I had... Yeah, Ken Eckley deserves all the applause. And so I tracked down Russell Johnson, who played the professor, and asked him if he and the professor would sign it, which they did. <That's fine. laughs> Oh, everything I'm telling you is true. Let's see. Oh, so that leaves gluttony, right? And Gilligan. But seriously? He's as skinny as Mrs. Howell. But then gluttony isn't a body type. No, it has to do with excessiveness and impulsiveness that causes self-harm. We can certainly be a glutton for food, but that's what that is. That's a glutton for food. I mean, we still use the term glutton for punishment, right? It's just we've kind of forgotten what all the word means, but we still use that, a glutton for punishment, to describe someone who keeps making the same mistakes and poor choices to their own peril, never seeming to learn or grow or mature. Wait, is that Gilligan or us? Which little buddy blew every chance of his own escape by the end of pretty much every episode? Good old Gluttigan. So maybe let's resolve to practice a little more moderation wherever it's most needed. Because everyone is a glutton for punishment right up to the point of repentance. You want to know what's weird? And it is not that I know that that flashlight is a 1959 Eveready Cordahide number 314. Not in my book, that's not weird. I'll tell you what's weird. 18 months ago, 2021, one of the abandoned, lost, original SS Minnows ran aground on the shore of Maui with no one aboard. That's weird. So funny. They're speculating that whoever had owned it all these years had it tethered on some private somewhere and it broke loose and drifted. I mean, that's crazy. But it makes a good point. The one desire all seven castaways shared was to get back to harbor and home. But harboring these sins kept them isolated on an island. Despite the many opportunities their creators sent their way. So how about you? Come on. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed. Because, well, by rejecting this, some have made a shipwreck of their faith. So let's don't make that mistake, right? What say we stop any self-imposed isolation and get off our island and make our way home, which means resolving to actually change on the inside. After all, every man is an island, I'm told. And it just don't matter what we learn in here till we apply it out there. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for being compassionate, gracious, and oh, so slow to anger. Holy Spirit, inspire us to cast away our sin and empower us to keep watching and praying. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you and strive to follow you with all our heart. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.